Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Yes, Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds. They're all those things. The degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Pauly Kid. What is happening, fellas? What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
All right, so now there's some weather in the Long Island area. So the Parlay Kid and Brother Bri, we may have him for the duration of this podcast. The Parlay Kid could drop out any minute. I got to say, here in California, we survived, Mikey Meatballs and I, babyface Joel Solomon, survived a 4.2 earthquake. You don't see us making any excuses about batteries or anything like that, Parlay Kid. Did you even ask Mikey Meatballs if he was all right?
Poor kid, I had no terrified. Idea about that, Sal.
Poor kid was terrified.
Hope you guys are okay. I mean,
you know. He got a one-way Southwest flight home. He's good right after this. He's coming back.
Did you guys feel it? Yeah, I know it was in the more early morning, right?
I felt it. Michael, I don't think you did, right? Did you say you felt it? Well, you did. You did, right? Yeah.
Like everything else in California, weak, Harry.
Yeah.
Well, Michael just went right back, man. Right back. You didn't care. That's like the California's. Babyface, what about you? Were you scared?
Oh, come on. 4.1. Call me when we hit 5. Forget it.
All right. I think this one was in the ocean. It was a little weird. So a little bit of a shake rather than a rock and roll. Anyway, extrapoints.com. Every single day, these guys give their picks, winner or lose. Every single day, we got Thursday picks for you in a minute. We got our pal Rob Parker joining us too now. He has a Major League Baseball Hall of Fame vote, and I think this was the most controversial year that I can remember. I don't think Rob voted for Scott Rolen. We'll have to get into it with him. I saw that his ballot posted online. It looked something like you'd hang in a middle school cafeteria. It really, the way it is, right? It was like, vote for one. You can vote for one, or you could vote for more, but don't vote for more than 10. It was really weird that it was boxed out. Very, very, like a sixth grader would put together. Rob, I think, only voted for Gary Sheffield. I'm not sure that's right either. We'll get into it with him, but at least he didn't check off 10 names. I feel that's what most of the voters did. So anyway, Parlay Kid, we'll start with you because you were angered beyond words. Scott Rolen is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. I do feel bad for the guy a little. Should be the greatest moment of his life. And he's forced to read all the shit everyone's saying about him. He's not worthy. All he did was go out there and put together a very good career. But I think that's the problem. I think it was very good and not great and not excellent. 81, 316 homers, 8 gold gloves. Okay, great. Parlay Kid, you would not have thought of Scott Rolen, right? If you had to check a box.
So this is a travesty. You know, I was planning on a trip to Cooperstown in the spring this year. My kids go to school, like right up in the area. I will probably be canceling that trip. The Hall of Fame means nothing right now. And it's, again, nothing against Scott Rolen. Here's a guy that didn't play more than 105 games his last 8 years of his career, Sal.
Right.
Okay. And if he's in, there's got to be at least 100 other guys who should be in the Hall of Fame that are not in the Hall of Fame. This is really setting these guys up for complete failure. So I've said this for 30 plus years, to take the votes away from these writers. They don't know what they're doing. Why are they credentialed to vote on the Hall of Fame status of ball players when a good 90% of them would get hit in the face if I threw a baseball to them?
Oh, wow.
That's a fact. Rob Parker could probably catch it. He probably played a good first base in his day. But the bottom line is that most of these guys, the whole thing is a sham. It's like voting for the popular kid in eighth grade, the one that's liked the most. That's how these guys are doing it now. It's not based on merit. You got to throw out what happened during this era because you voted for David Ortiz, who was on the same list. Nothing against Rob Parker. He voted for Gary Sheffield. Does he know about Gary Sheffield?
I don't understand.
I love Sheffield. Sheffield should be in the Hall of Fame.
But all these other guys
should be in the Hall of Fame. Let's wake up because they've ruined it. They have absolutely ruined the Hall of Fame. We said, you know it. This is a fuck. These guys are the worst. These writers are the worst. News media members are the worst.
I love this.
Darren.
We have Rob Parker and Peter King coming up in the next like 12 hours.
Yeah. Writers, well, guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? They're right. Part of the worst. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Darren, Tommy La Russa said Roland was the best third baseman he ever saw.
Well, put Greg Nettles in the Hall of Fame then, Harry. I don't know. Put Don Mattingly. Put Keith Hernandez. Put Dale Murphy. Put Lou Whitaker. Put all these guys in the Hall of Fame because they're better than Scott Rowland.
Yeah.
This has started years ago. Look, Phil Rizzuto shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'll say that. But the bottom, right, like Joe Namath probably shouldn't be in the Football Hall of Fame. Really shouldn't. But the bottom line is, the bad stuff started when Harold Baines got in just a few years ago.
That's the one I remember being as controversial as this one. I will say, I looked at his stats. They're better than I thought they were. Not Hall of Fame worthy, but to me, Bri, this is what I look at. 2004 was his best season. He was fourth in MVP voting.
Yeah.
Only three other times did he make the list of MVP votes, 14th, 20th, and 24th. How does that add up to a Hall of Famer? I think you have to be top three at least four times.
Look, when they came out with this yesterday, I heard it on the radio first thing. I thought they were just like joking about it, saying, imagine like Scott Rowland made the Hall of Fame. And then when I was like, let me check on Twitter to see if he actually made it. It just came up. He had made it. And I was like, I cannot believe it. The only thing the reason they're putting him in is, I guess you're looking at him to say, maybe, you know, he's a top two or three fielding third baseman of all time. Then you add his offensive numbers. No, I'm just saying that can be the only basis.
I haven't looked at the others. Are there other third basemen? I feel like his numbers were treated as if he was a shortstop.
But David Wright.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. So David Wright kind of has to get in now, right? But I don't know.
But
was seventh all time for third baseman in slugging percentage. Seventh.
Who are you talking about? David Wright?
Rowland.
Harry, what does that even mean? Then why isn't Jeff Kent in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think he deserves to get
there. Darren, he's just saying. You know how this works. He's just saying. A bit over
2,000 hits is not enough. I agree.
These guys, it's a farce. I don't care. Why is Bronson Arroyo getting a vote? Why is R.A. Dickey getting a vote? Why is Mike Napoli getting a vote? Why is John Lackey getting a vote? Why is Houston Street getting a vote? What's wrong with these guys?
Is Mark Burley getting 42 votes? Like, why? You know, there are guys.
Burley at least won 200 games. Hard to believe, but he did. But should he have that many? No. But how are these guys just like, craps and giggles, they're going to break? I'm going to check off Bronson Arroyo. How serious are these guys?
Because you're giving them the opportunity to check 10 names. You'll find this in any industry, not just writing. I think people, whether you're running a TV show or whatever, you have to prove your value, right? So I don't think you get in trouble for not voting. Maybe if you didn't vote at all 5 straight years, they'd be like, hey, come on here. But you're certainly not going to get in trouble for picking one name, but the power of the pen, I think, it actually lends to writing. Well, I think as long as they can check 10 boxes, they're going to check 10 boxes. That's what should be regulated.
Well, any profession that requires that should be eliminated, Sal. Just get rid of any profession that requires checking boxes because people don't know how to check boxes, I guess.
I think it's the too many boxes. I think they're allowing too many boxes to do that. But I don't know. I just, Babyface, what's your take on anything like this?
Well, already they should change it. Like Parley Kid saying, when we talk to Peter King, he always talks about these guys.
Peter King just canceled. He heard the beginning of this podcast.
What he would have said is how all the writers, they get in a room, they argue it out, they never leave, and they take this so seriously. Whereas this, you're right. It looks like something my kids comes home with for like a field trip, and it's like, you know, when you get around to it, check what meal you want and then send it back. I mean, where's the debate in the room with these guys?
Well, and also until this year, you had one vote. You had one first place vote for MVP in the NFL, right? Now it's 5-3-1 and 5-4-3-2-1 and the ones where there are five. We'll get to that in about 3 minutes, but Yeah, I don't know. Is there anyone, Parlay Kid, who should have made it that was on the list, do you think?
Well, Sal, there's a lot of guys. I just rambled off a few. I mean, like,
no, no, I mean, just out of the ones that got votes, I would say. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Jeff Kent. I know Brother Bri wanted to expand on Jeff Kent, I think.
Oh,
so.
Harry,
I mean,
Harry's got Jeff Kent.
Harry's got he's right. You know, personally speaking, I'll just go back. I mean, we talked about this before, and this is what bothers me. I don't like Curt Schilling, right? But he's not in the Hall of Fame because he's right. got different political views than most of the writers. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Look at Schilling's stats. They're not far off of Pedro Martinez's stats. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Schilling yeah. is not going to get into the Hall of Fame because of like having different political views than a lot of these writers. These guys are arrogant and they're self-righteous. And I'm sorry, I don't like Schilling, but he's a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame. He had a great career, over 3,000 strikeouts. and so that Barry Bonds, Clemens, put these guys in already, for crying out loud.
So that's what I'm looking at. A-Rod and Manny Ramirez are the ones from this year.
You put Ortiz in, put the rest of them in.
I agree.
No, seriously, it's crap.
Yeah.
I like that we figured that Parlay Kid, we're worried about his audio. We may not be able to hear him. My God, we've never heard him louder or clearer. All right, Harry, you want to make a case for Jeff Kent? I think this is his final year on the ballot, right?
It was. Yeah. I've always thought he's been getting hosed. I know he wasn't loved by the media.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Darren, he's probably best known for that fight in the dugout with Barry Bonds that one time when he was at the Giants, but he played in all big market cities, played in New York, South, with your Mets, LA, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I love Jeff Kent.
And look, you know, you want to put in 2005, Ryan Sandberg got in for second base, obviously. And Jeff Kent, like, it was a stereotype of just second baseman couldn't hit home runs. They wouldn't hit for power. There would be a singles hitter and maybe a for average. Jeff Kent changed all that. He hit 290, hit better than Sandberg, more hits than Sandberg, 100 home runs more, and 500 more RBIs playing the same second base. He won an MVP in 2000, four-time Silver Slugger winner. Mm. And I bet you if I gave you guys 1,000 guesses.
We don't have time, Harry.
If
Rob Parker's coming on. Yeah.
about doubles in the majors, 560 doubles for Jeff Kent. That is 30th of all time. I would give you 1,000 guesses. You would never say Jeff Kent for top 30 in doubles.
Well, now I would. If I get to guess now, I would say Jeff Kent.
I mean, unbelievable that he's not.
Imagine Harry loses another bet. Yeah.
Right, imagine we're on a pod and Harry's like, name the top 30 guys.
I thought that's what he was saying. Jeff Kent.
He was Harry, and he's not even close to getting
it. Not even close, Dan.
He was too surly for these guys. He wasn't friendly to them. It's a joke.
Yeah. All right.
Who are these guys?
Darren, they're not even better. They're not better than Sandberg. He crushed Sandberg's numbers, for example.
I agree.
Well, I want to ask Rob Parker, and again, he didn't vote for Scott Rolen, but I'm going to blame him for all this, I think. But what I do want to ask him is, are the same people who vote for MVP the same people who vote for Hall of Fame? Because obviously, if you saw Scott Rolen as the 14th best player, the 20th best player, and the 24th best player in three of his four best years, how does that add up in your head? I just think you're getting to check too many boxes. I don't feel like it's like, well, why is everyone getting so fat? Like, well, they're eating at a buffet all the time. Like, well, what if we cut the buffet down to three items and two of them are healthy? I don't know. I just feel like these people, they don't know how. I do think there's some of that too, Parlay Kid, where keeping the, being a-holes and keeping the steroid guys out, or the guys who don't agree with you politically or whatever, wouldn't give interviews. That's definitely a part of it. But I do feel like you're just giving them too much of a playground here. Bobby Abreu, 60 votes. Jimmy Rollins, 50 votes. I don't know.
You're right, Sal. Too much of presence? A playground. And these guys wouldn't even know how to go down a slide, Sal. So get rid of it. Get rid
you
of it.
You said it perfectly. You got to tweet that. And you know what? Let's take a break and you could tweet that. Actually, let's really take a break. And then we're going to be back with the man himself, Rob Parker. He's got a lot to answer for.
Have you been betting with the Caesars Sportsbook and Casino app? If so, keep it up, because every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means, win or lose, you're getting closer to amazing perks like game tickets, free stays, bonuses, and more. And if not, well, when you get started, your first bet is on Caesars. Register with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. 21 years plus only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 or more wager only. Must register with an eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit, $1,250, must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms, void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's bring in our guest. He's a good friend of the show. In fact, he used to be a big part of the Extra Points podcast, then decided on a complete career change when he went and became a featured entertainer on Golden Girls themed cruises. It's unbelievable. What a story. From Martin Van Buren High School and Fox Sports Radio, baseball Hall of Fame voter extraordinaire, Rob Parker. Rob, what's happening, man?
Yo, yo. What's up, Cousin Sal? What's up, gang? Everybody, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, you might not be so glad. I mean, I love you, but you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You really should.
Is it me or my brethren? Are you blaming me or my brethren?
I'm talking about the Golden Girl cruiser. Nothing to do with baseball. Yeah, no. No, yes. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
The Golden Girls cruise, come on, was awesome. I mean, how many times can you go on a cruise and not have to worry about getting anybody pregnant? You know what I'm saying?
I like it. I like it.
And the other thing you would think that, you know, you would get a restful night's sleep, sleeping with an older woman, you know, and all this and whatnot. But this woman I slept with, she kept me up all night. I kept hearing her arteries hardening across the night. So it was a tough sleep.
Interesting. Well, I don't think you ever woke up in time to make an appropriate vote for the Hall of Fame is what happened. No, you didn't vote for Scott Rowland, right?
No way, no how. I mean, Scott Rowland is a very good player, but he ain't a Hall of Famer. Not yesterday, not today, not a year from now. He's not a Hall of Famer.
All right. Okay, so let's break this down then. By the way, I agree with that assessment completely. Very good. And then there's another level, great. And then I don't even think that makes it. I think excellent has to, or whatever you want to, superb, right? Right at the top. So I think he's two levels away from being in the Hall of Fame. But what's wrong with your fellow writers? Do you know these people? Who are they? Why do they keep screwing this up? What, yeah. Is it going to get better?
And you know what? I got to say this. I do have respect for the BBWAA. I've been a member since 1990, a long time.
You have to say this. You don't want to lose your vote. I get it. No, get it out of your system.
I do. And I just want to say two things, seriously, because this is, I'm dead serious about this. They normally get it right because it's how they do. And I'll give you two examples early on in the history of this organization.
All right,
1947, yeah. Right?
They got it right in 1947.
1947. Right. You know what the country was like? They let in their first Black writer member in 1947. Just think about what that's 20 years before civil rights and all that. 1947 was not a great time to be a Black man in the United States, okay?
Okay.
They let one of the writers in. And they voted for Jackie Robinson to be Rookie of the Year in 1947, right? There were only two Black players in the league, him and Larry Doby, and Jackie Robinson won the Rookie of the Year. So there's a great history with the BBWAA, but they've gone the wrong way. They've gone bonkers. They are now trying to elevate guys who really aren't that great because of the taint that they use against the steroid guys. So if we don't have A-Rod and we don't have Sheffield and we don't have Bonds and we don't have McGuire and we don't have Sosa and we don't have Palmeiro, now they're looking at these guys who had very good careers and now are elevating them into the Hall of Fame instead of just saying, we're not picking anybody because there's nobody right now who's worthy of that honor. And that's not where I think we've made the mistake.
Okay, two things. First of all, I know you have to praise the organization. That Black writer from 1947, I guarantee he's not still there, right?
No.
All right. I don't want to hear why, but they kicked him out, I'm sure.
No, 1947, he's long gone, but he did make it. He did make it.
All right, he made it. Secondly, is it too many? Are you allowed to vote for too many? Like, if there's very few that are actually eligible, if you kick out the steroid guys, why can you check 10 boxes? I think most of the guys didn't do like you did. To your credit, you only picked one. It was Sheffield. Not sure why you liked him more than A-Rod or Manny Ramirez. Maybe
okay, let me
that.
Tell you why.
Go ahead.
The difference between Sheffield, for me, there are three magic numbers. Mm-hmm. 500 home runs, 300 wins by a pitcher, and 3,000 hits. If you get any of those, you automatically get my vote. I don't need to look at your career, okay? So those are the three. Sheffield had 509 career home runs.
Why not 3,000 strikeouts?
I don't know. I don't think that that's as great as 300 wins.
Okay.
I mean, because it depends on how long you pitch and if you're a strikeout pitcher. So there's guys who might get there who had a pretty good career or a decent career. So that's not the magic number, but those three. And here's the difference why I would vote for Sheffield and not for A-Rod and not for Manny. Those guys were suspended by Major League Baseball. Sheffield was never suspended by the league, never tested positive. And I don't think that I should hold that against him because there's speculation. He used some cream or something. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have that. And I don't think that's my job. If his numbers and stats count, then that's fine. And I'm not mad at anybody who won't vote for A-Rod or those guys because of the suspension. Manny got busted like two or three times after they started testing for the juice. So that's why, I can't vote for those guys.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Again, I'm not going to kill you because you didn't go Scott Rolen. But do you think do you see most of these guys' votes? Actually, they're put out. You put yours out. You just actually showed a picture, but you checked the box that said, do you want this to be exposed? And you said, yes. Do most voters actually go along with that, or they want it private?
No, I think it's probably 50-50. There's a lot of guys who don't want criticism. They don't want people who attack you and tell you don't know the game or you're a bum or you're this or that or you're a racist or you're whatever they might use as the reason why you didn't vote for the player that they like. I don't have an issue with it. I think it should be transparent.
Right.
But remember, there's a guy out there who didn't vote for Derek Jeter. You remember he was one vote short from unanimous. Mm-hmm. And that guy has never been, no one's found out who that guy is. So that's really? One of those guys who's probably afraid that people would find out who he is.
I bet it was you. That is something you would do just to be funny. I can see you doing it. No?
I covered Derek Jeter from day one when he's a rookie. No. I watched his entire career. He deserved to be unanimous.
Okay. All right. I think we all agree on that, except maybe Harry in the big box there. what do they do, though? Do they? So if you keep it private, you could essentially not vote ever, right?
There are people who don't vote. And that could be like the guy who didn't vote for Jeter could have put in a blank ballot as in protest. So that's why you don't always know. Now, when Mariano Rivera got in unanimously, that was the first time in the history of the Hall of Fame vote. Like, who didn't vote for Babe Ruth? Who didn't vote for Hank Aaron? Right. Who didn't vote for Willie Mays? I don't know what writers, but Mariano Rivera was the first unanimous ever.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So that makes this even crazier because there's no penalty for not voting, right? So it's not like people are like, all right, I gotta check seven boxes, otherwise they're gonna take this away from me, right? This prized possession. You call it your most prized possession.
Well, I don't have any kids and I dump my wife, so it is my most
prized possession. All right. I have kids and a wife, and I think it would still be my most prized possession. all right. So that answers that. So nobody's voting out of fear that they're going to get it taken away if they abstain.
But I think you make the point you make is a good one from this standpoint. I think now, like, because you're weeding out so many people, we could have 2 or 3 years where nobody's getting in, and that's not what they want. So a guy like Scott Rowland is elevated to get in. Otherwise, this year, there would just be Fred McGriff who got into the Veterans Committee, which to me is the back door. Fred McGriff had a very good career, but if you're on the ballot for 10 or 15 years and the writers don't vote you in, I don't know how you feel like you're a Hall of Famer.
Go ahead, Darren. Yeah.
No, I would counter that by saying, but McGriff was at least voted in by some people who played the game of baseball. Like in that committee had players, ex-players that voted for him. Compared to some of these writers, Robin, all due respect, I know you know the game. And I said this to Sal before. I don't know how many guys get to vote here. How many writers are there that are voting?
So there's about 400 writers who vote. About 400.
Right. And if I threw a baseball to all of them, how many of them would actually catch a baseball? Probably less than half. Seriously, this is the truth. No, but
all right. And let me give you the pushback on this. The problem is, when you have these committees, like all of the questionable people in the Hall of Fame, where people go, how is Phil Rizzuto in the Hall of Fame?
I'm a Yankees guy, and he shouldn't be in.
Okay, but you know how he got in? Veterans Committee. How did Pee Wee Reese get in the Hall of Fame? Veterans Committee. How did Harold Baines get in the Hall of Fame? Veterans Committee. How did Alan Trammell get in the Hall of Fame? The issue is it becomes a popularity contest.
Either way,
you're a broadcaster, right?
Right.
Who's the shortstop? Bill Mazeroski has that great moment with the Pirates, right?
That was it. Hit 260
in Game 7. He made the Hall of Fame. Go look at his numbers and career. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Agreed. Rob, you're spot on with this, and that's the problem. And I agree with everything you're saying.
So what's the answer? So what do we do? Do we cut down how many you could vote on? Do we get real baseball people in there plus guys who played the game? Like what is the answer?
I think the real thing is it should be, we shouldn't have a limit. And I'm going to say this, no limit, but only one try in. Okay. So that can't be an excuse like, there were 12 guys I wanted to vote for and I can only do 10. So I left two guys off the ballot. So everybody should go if you're on the ballot and you get one shot, because to me, the stats don't change. Sal,
how does
Scott Rowland's stats change from year one when he got 10% of the vote? 5 years later, with the same exact stats, he gets 76%.
That doesn't make any sense. It's availability. You're right. It's not right. It's not. But here's my thing, and maybe everyone doesn't feel this way. It could be you're the writers. You can. It could be a silent protest. You go a few years in a row where people aren't voting, and they're like, "Holy crap, this is embarrassing." We've had 3 years now where there's no Hall of Fame ceremony. Maybe we should start letting the steroid guys in because they're making a statement here, the writers, and frankly, a lot of the fans agree with it too.
Yeah, that is something. But there's some writers who don't want to vote those guys in. Yeah. If you remember, Bonds and Clemens got like 65%. Mm-hmm. They needed 75%. But mm-hmm. but I do think that, and people need to understand this. This is one thing people don't understand. Oh, take it away from the writers, blah, blah, blah. These That's are there. All our yeah. awards. Do you know we started all of the awards that baseball gives out were mm-hmm. originally BBWAA awards that baseball adopted. So the thing when they say take away the awards from the writers, those are actually our awards that baseball felt would be better. And I've talked to some players who say they don't want players voting for the Hall of Fame and for the All-Star game and things like that. A couple of years ago when the NBA allowed players to vote, 130 players in the league of 400 players, did not vote for LeBron James for the All-Star game. Mm. Just think about that. That's how petty guys are. How could they not vote for LeBron James?
Skip Bayless gets that many votes? That's amazing. How did he work that out? All right, so let's say, Rob, they go to you. They say, Rob Parker, we've had enough of this. There's too much backlash. You get to pick three players, non-steroid guys throughout history, who you're going to put in the Hall of Fame. Non-steroid and not Pete Rose, let's say, just for argument's sake. You get three.
Okay.
Go.
Then there's nobody. Zero.
No.
What? There's nobody.
You don't put Dave Parker in. You don't put in Steve Garvey. You don't put Dale nope. Murphy. You don't put Dick Allen.
All of those guys on the Hall are very good. Dale Murphy, I got it. He won two MVP. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got that. But his stats, and look at some of the numbers. Like, here's my biggest argument right now. If you're putting in Scott Rowland, Keith Hernandez should be in the Hall of Fame.
We said that.
I'm not going to argue that. Yep.
Adley should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right. If Scott Rowland is in, then those guys should be in.
That's the problem. Your colleagues set this up now for that. That's the issue here. Like, now all these, there's probably 50 guys that should be in the Hall of Fame if Scott Rowland is in the Hall of Fame.
100%. Right. And I can't argue it. If you're Keith Hernandez and you woke up, you won batting titles, MVP, two World Series, more hits, better OP plus.
Smoking in the dugout.
all the other stuff. And 11 Gold Gloves in a row. 11.
Right. Yes. He was the premier first baseman of his day, if you look at it like that. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with Keith Hernandez. I'm a big Met fan. All right. So that's good. So you are now announcing that you're forfeiting your Hall of Fame vote as a result of the embarrassment demonstrated by your fellow voters,
you have
right?
To come to my apartment in West LA and yank it from me.
Well, Rob, speaking of first baseman, how much, just curious, in your mind, with your vote, how much did you factor this in? Todd Helton playing his entire career in Denver. How much does that kill him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to look at that.
316 average.
It's a hitter's park, but he only had 5 All-Star games, never won an MVP. I look at the big awards. I'll give you the perfect example to me what when you look at the Hall of Fame. Joe Morgan's numbers aren't that great. Go look at it for a second baseman, right? But Joe Morgan won back-to-back National League MVPs on the big red machine, arguably one of the greatest baseball teams.
It matters.
Pete Rose, Tony Perez, Johnny mm-hmm. Bench, and Joe Morgan is the MVP 2 years in a row of the entire league. To me, that's a Hall of Famer.
I don't even know if I've asked you this because we've talked about this for 45 minutes, so we'll just cut this out if I'm doubling up. But are the same people who vote for Hall of Fame essentially the same people who vote for MVP? Because Scott Rowland, in his 4 best years, came in 4th 1 year, 14th, 20th, and 24th. So where were these people when he was at his best? They weren't backing Scott Rowland, unless it's different people.
No, it's the same group, not everybody. And there's your answer right there. It's phony because they didn't think he was that great when he played to finish 4th as the highest. you're not even really in the running. You might look at the top two or three, depending on the vote. But it comes from the same pool of writers, not the whole 400, but the players, but the writers who cover teams on a daily basis who are BBWAA members like myself. So every city gets two votes for every big award, Cy Young, MVP. So there's only two in Philadelphia, and they, you know, decide to give it to two different writers.
All right. Last time I put a bet in for you, we're going to try this again. You went, I wanted a baseball champion and I wanted a Super Bowl champion. And you went Padres, Packers. Not great. Yeah. Padres beat my Mets. Packers made it exciting to the last day of the regular season. But that we can't cash that. That's not going
to
work.
No, we're not cashing that. Okay, so you need two.
All right. Well, no. Now I'm just going to give you Super Bowl. Well, but whatever you want. You want to bet the champ?
Okay, no, we can do Super Bowl. Okay.
You want to bet the champ? You want to bet the matchup? What do you want to do? I'm going to put it in for you, $100.
Okay, I'm going to bet the Cincinnati Bengals over Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I love Joe Burrow and that team. I mean, they started 0-2 and 2-4. And like, I didn't think they'd make the playoffs this year. You know, you've seen a lot of teams go to Super Bowl and then the next year don't even make it.
Right.
And look at what they were able to do to go to Buffalo. Yeah, the Rams were terrible this year. But they went to Buffalo with three starting offensive linemen down and dominated that game.
Yep. By the way, that line was – it's been jumping all over, right? So the Chiefs opened at 1.5. That's when we knew Mahomes wasn't going to be right, for sure. Then it went all the way up to Bengals minus 2.5. Mahomes announces today he's ready to go. It's a pick. I'm a little nervous about this. I love the Bengals too. I love them at +3, but now it's a pick 'em. Lots of Chiefs money coming in. All right, we're doing this.
But I'm gonna tell you why. Don't get afraid. Joe Burrow's beaten them three times.
Yep.
Three times in one calendar year. And here's the other thing: it's not just about Mahomes. Their defense is questionable. The Chiefs, and you saw Jacksonville put up 20 in their yard. And last year they had a big lead at halftime against Cincinnati and gave it up in the second half. Telling you, don't trust the Chiefs defense.
All right, I won't. You got 100 on the Bengals. What do you got? You and Mad Dog are going to be sparring about this. But what are you going to say? He's just going to yell at you like us, and you're going to be like, I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it'll be good. We'll definitely Mad Dog tomorrow on MLB Network. So it'll be fun. You know, we'll definitely bark at each other, no doubt.
All right, there you go. Rob Parker, the greatest. Fox Sports Radio, Golden Girls. You can catch them all there. I do want to ask you, Rob, did you cry? Legitimate question, when Betty White passed away.
I didn't cry, but I felt a little verklempt. I did. I really did. She was the last surviving Golden Girl. Almost made it to 100 years old. She was on television when television first started. And her hair still looked the same. Amazing woman after almost 100 years.
She really was. I mean, and even now dead, she could pick Hall of Famers better than most of your colleagues. It's unbelievable. Rob, thanks for coming on. Fi, you have anything else to plug? I mean, you're all over the place, right?
No, I mean, that's it. Everything is kind of busy, you know, with school. You know, I teach at USC. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I love it. So
how's that going?
It's going pretty good. This is my fourth or fifth year. What is this? Year five.
You fail people?
I haven't failed anybody yet. You know, USC is a really highbrow school. And these kids are very, very... I have, and this is the biggest shocker to me, I went to a Division II school, Southern Connecticut State University undergrad. I got my master's from Columbia. But I never went into a class and took the class without credit. They call it auditing. So the kids will come into my class. They're not getting credit for it, participate and do the assignments because they want to learn. You know what I mean? They know I'm teaching or whatever, and they're not in my class, but they want to learn.
Now, Wait a minute. What's wrong? What is it? Too much overflow? So they can't enroll in the class?
They either can't enroll or can't commit to it all the time, but they come to the class to learn. I've never seen that in my life. I never did that.
Yeah, because their parents got them in illegally, right? That's the USC way. We'll take whatever they can get.
I told you I'm making a lot of money, so I'm good.
That's true. All right. You're going to make an extra $100 when the Bengals beat the Chiefs 28-23 on Sunday. So I will be Venmoing that to you. Do you have Venmo? Martin Weiss says black people don't have Venmo. You have it.
I have Venmo. And
I'm going to rub that in, Weiss.
Yes.
I love it.
What is it? His last name is Weiss. Is he black?
I don't know, but he makes us pay him through Zelle. And like, it's crazy. We got to start a whole new system here. All right, Rob, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Stop voting for Scott Rivers. No more.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're going to talk football because it is football season. I mentioned it with Rob Parker. That was a lot of fun, by the way. Bengals down to a pick 'em. Philly steady at 2.5. And that's going to be, I don't know what happens. Brian, what happens with this Chiefs Bengals line? I don't know that we'll learn a lot more about Patrick Mahomes' health between now and Sunday.
Said he's good to go. So right. I get, you know, that, unless anything new comes out, I feel like, pick'em's about right.
I think so. I guess that's what it has to sit out. Meanwhile, the NFL awards finalists were announced yesterday. I have some outstanding tickets, not outstanding like I'm proud of, but they're still alive. I think I might do okay on a couple. I already lost. I had Sirianni and McDermott for coach of the year. One McDermott was 30-1. Sirianni was
so stupid.
Plus 170 when I bet it. So it must have been. When the hell could I have bet that? In December?
And Bri, you gave that out. A couple weeks ago.
I gave
that
out before the season. At one point, it was like 20-1. Then it was 13-1.
He really got totally hosed.
How is this? I actually thought when you sent this around, Sal, at first, I was like, I got to look back on this because I think Sal just forgot to put Sirian. How is the guy not top three?
It's Doug Peterson, and Kyle Shanahan. I guess they only have three for that category.
But it doesn't matter.
How is that possible?
This goes back to your point. I mean, look, I get it. You can't wait till the end because then just the Super Bowl champ, they're going to win everything, whatever. So you're not going to maybe give. But Dable still shouldn't have been over Sirianni.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the best record in football. Come on.
Dable, Spaghetti's not here, is he? He's 3-6-1 last 10.
It makes it look but now it makes it look really dumb because you're looking at that. You're like, oh, man, they just kicked the crap out of the Giants.
Well, who's picking this, Bri?
Right. I guess Rob is picking.
Well,
this
is a tough one, though, because you could have gone Dan Campbell. He's not in. You could have gone Kevin O'Connell. I hated that team, but
what about Pete Carroll?
Zach Taylor, Pete Carroll. Right. Yeah, for sure. Right. So who wins this? Shanahan? They took the odds off on this a while ago. Who was, was Dayball in front at that point?
Dayball towards the end was at the top, but I think Shanahan pretty much has to win, right? They go on that win streak, you know, they win all the
Rookie quarterback.
I give it to Shanahan. I'm now impressed with him. I know he screwed up a little bit in that Cowboys game, but he basically said, give me the last pick of the freaking draft and I'm going to make him our starting quarterback and we're going to go to the Super Bowl or one game short.
That's it.
And he did it. And, you know, I know it's a regular season vote, but pretty damn good out of those three.
It's dumb, though.
Sirianni's still getting screwed.
Yeah, he is. He has to be top three. He has to be top three.
Wasn't he the leader
the whole time?
A few weeks ago? Because I remember saying that. If Sirianni is the leader, I thought Hurts should be the leader for MVP.
Right.
They go together.
He was the favorite at plus 170. I'm trying to figure out when it was. It couldn't be much later than December or much earlier than the first week in December. All right. So MVP, Hurts, Jefferson, Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. I guess this is like best picture. You have a few more options in the main category. Hurts, Jefferson, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen. when they stopped giving the odds out, Mahomes was what? Minus 600 or something, Bri?
Yeah, about
somewhere. About right. All right. Yeah. So I have him at 9-1 and I'm rooting for that. But I guess all the votes are in for all this. Offensive player of the year, Hurts, Jefferson, and Mahomes. Normally the way it goes is the quarterback gets the MVP, the best running back or wide receiver gets, that's how it's been going the last few years, gets the offensive player of the year. I could see them giving it to Hurts, Harry.
Hurts, yeah.
I could see them giving this to
Hurts. I can too. Again, you know, it was 14-1, 13 rushing touchdowns. He's been tremendous. Yes. And I think maybe they played the Eagles played with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because they know Sirianni's not going to get it. He's totally getting screwed. Hurts for the MVP as well.
Right. Defensive player of the year, Bosa, Jones, and Parsons. Bosa is going to get it. I think he was a monster favorite when they took the lines down. He has 18.5 regular season sacks. I'm just saying that because I have him at 10-1. So hopefully nice that shot. Happens.
Parsons outplayed him the other day, by the way. Just
so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the only problem with Parsons, because I took him at some point during the year or earlier in the year. But the problem with Parsons is just those last couple of weeks, whether he was hurt right. a little bit, he just kind of.
Yeah,
that's where the really odds, much, but that's where that cost him. Yeah. But yeah.
Offensive rookie of the year, Purdy, Kenneth Walker, Garrett Wilson, no Kenny Pickett, no Christian Watson. So it's those first three. I feel like Purdy was making, I would not be surprised if Purdy won this. I don't think he was the favorite when they started taking the odds down. Wasn't it Garrett Wilson? Or was it Kenneth Walker? Did he jump back up in front? Kenneth Does Walker anyone remember?
Kenneth Walker for the longest time was the favorite.
Did he hold on? Because he sat those two games, I think. And then I could see Purdy winning this, right?
I think it's still Walker because he did play 15 games.
Yeah.
Unlike Purdy. And he had 1,200 total yards on a team, 1,200 yards on a team that wasn't supposed to win five games all season.
Yeah, I kind of agree with
really
that.
Good.
I
mean, Walker, 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, when Walker was at his best, he really helped that
Seattle.
Really,
right.
really helped that Seattle team.
I mean, you could say that, but I mean, Penny would have put up the same numbers, Harry, if he didn't get hurt. Maybe even better. So what
Penny Purdy gets hurt all the time. He's a bad draft choice.
Purdy outplayed the starter when he came in. For those games, he outplayed, the guy they, Lance, who didn't really get a chance, but
right.
Purdy was. I was
leaning
Purdy here for this, just because of it. Really has nothing to do where he was drafted, but quarterback is the hardest position to play in the NFL.
Yeah,
I mean, bar none.
And, I think
he was exceptional at it.
Right, I think Purdy was the most impressive. The problem is. I guess, are you setting a precedent then with like,
I don't know if games,
you can play five games and win?
Yeah, Pickett was never in consideration really because he didn't have enough games, right?
No, his stats aren't good, Sal. His Pickett's stats really aren't good.
I guess a lot of picks to start.
All right, I'm okay with it. I just think they're going to give it to Purdy, but I'm fine with Kenneth Walker, who was favored. Defensive rookie of the year, Sauce Gardner, he was a big favorite too. I think it was minus 500. Going into those last couple of weeks, Aiden Hutchinson and Tariq Woolen, the D-back for Gardner. Seattle, feels like Sauce got all the juice towards the end.
I gave him out at 8-1 to start the season, Sal.
Yeah. You did. All right.
You and Harry had him too, right?
But I did like Hutchinson. 9.5 sacks.
I think I gave him out, bro. I don't know.
Three picks for Hutchinson.
We would have heard about it if Harry gave him out. We would have definitely heard about it.
I guess so.
I think I did. You're right, bro. I did.
Kayvon Thibodeau not on that list, but he may have also missed a few too many games, right?
Yeah. He didn't get going for a while too.
And then comeback player of the year. I don't remember who was one. My Meatballs and I were trying to figure this out. And so it's Barkley, McCaffrey, and Geno Smith.
I think he made it to the last few weeks, huh?
I think I could see McCaffrey get this.
Geno Smith should win it. The fact they made the playoffs, Geno Smith should win it.
You're right, Brian. Right. And, you know, he had 30 touchdowns. You guys want to guess what his previous high was?
Jeff Kent.
Nine?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, guess the number, Sal.
30 touchdowns?
30 touchdowns this year. What was his previous high?
14. How many doubles did he have?
2014, he had 13.
Okay. All right. Yes. There you go. And no Jared Goff. That's the only other name I thought.
300 yards, too.
It was good. I don't know. It looks like it could be like a Seattle player and coach bias throughout all these awards. Yeah. So
Barkley, 1,600 yards.
That might be it. All right. Play of the day. Let's do this Thursday. Like it said, extrapoints.com. You get these guys' picks every single day for free. These are also for free. I'm going to jump in here. I lost the other night with Iowa State. A typical game, up 7, up 9, few minutes left, and end up winning by 4, laying 5. I'm going to lay 5 again with Purdue. They got Edie. Edie gets Dickinson is going to be a fun matchup. They do a great job on the glass. They're second in rebounding in the country. They play dynamite defense. They beat Gonzaga by 18. They beat Duke by 19. The Boilermakers did. Joel, they beat your Hofstra team by like 20, somewhere in there. They've covered 4 of the last 6, and they win their road games by almost 8 points a game. I think Matt Painter's team gets it done in Ann Arbor, 75-66 tonight. Take Purdue. Brother Bry, the other day, Florida State pummeled. My God.
It was over immediately. Yeah, January's been tough for me. I told you last year I wasn't going to get better than last year. But look, I gave out the other day on EP, I had Randall over 2.5 turnovers, and right. I wanted to take it again. But, you know, Boston, I was surprised. Boston doesn't force us. They're towards the bottom of the league in forcing turnovers. So I mentioned this on the pod. So Julius Randall, over 11.5 rebounds. It's minus 135. But right. Over the last month, been phenomenal as a rebounder. By far the best stretch in his career. He's averaging 14.5 rebounds this month. He is benefiting even more these last couple of games with Robinson out, but he's had 12 or more rebounds and 11 mm-hmm. of his last 13, or even better, 18 of his last 22 games. He's had 12 or more rebounds. That's nuts for a guy like Randall. Wow. And again, with their lineup that they have currently, he has to rebound for them. So I would take that before all of a sudden they jump this line up to 12.5.
All right. Okay. That's a good one. Harry, you got lucky with a Syracuse push. I don't know what you're crying about.
When yeah, I got lucky. I got lucky.
Missed 2 free throws with 0.8 left. That's all that matters.
Lead. You're plus 4. You got a 2-point lead with 18 seconds to go and you get a push. Lucky to get a push.
It was a flagrant foul. Don't play dirty.
No, it wasn't. No,
don't play dirty. All right. You're coming back with a hockey parlay.
Hockey parlay pays plus 133. Let's go Avs minus 420 versus the Ducks. Colorado has won 6 in a row. We'll take Calgary at minus 430 against the Blackhawks. 4-1, the Flames in their last 5 at home. And minus 190, we're going to take the Winnipeg Jets over the Buffalo Sabres. Winnipeg 7-1 in their last 8 at home. Third game in 4 days for the Sabres.
All right. And Parley Kid, speaking of those Sabres, you wrote them the other day. They almost blew it against St. Louis. They wanted them to come back, but yeah. they held on. You got the Devils now.
Well, Sal, I was going to ride with the Devils, but then I remembered I made a pact with you guys that I wasn't taking any minuses
In
the month of January. And it's dry January, right? But now it's kind of like my dry January. I'm taking all pluses right
give
now.
So I got to change. And a half. Give him minus 1.5. No,
I was. That's a little too much on the road. But Sal, so what I'm going to do is I'm dedicating this pick to my Buffalo pal, Matt Maraconda, who had some nice words to say about the parlay kit. So I'm taking
not Larry,
the
not our
again.
Friend Larry for 35 years. you have other friends.
Sorry, Larry. Sorry, right. Larry. Matt Maraconda is the face of Buffalo right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to be taking the Sabres again, Sal. 4 wins in a row here.
Wow.
There's something brewing with this team. Very good. Tage Thompson, one of the most underrated athletes in all of the sports right now. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg Jets have lost 3 out of 5. I'm going to go with the plus 158 underdog here in the Buffalo Sabres. Mm. They get it done again on the road, and I cash another plus pick, even though I've lost 5 in a row of my EP picks.
All right. Well, you didn't have to mention that. You bring everybody down there. There you go.
What a downer. That's right.
That's the play of the day. We will be back tomorrow with our conference championship picks, side totals, first touchdown. What else? We're going to have props all over the place. And the great Peter King is joining us tomorrow. That's going to be fun. He's a writer, Parley Kid, so you may have to plug your ears when he's speaking, but that's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks, Rob Parker, for coming on. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Beatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping.